Listen, I'm going to be honest with you. And this is a practice that I engage in every time I am stopped by law enforcement. And I taught this to my son, who is now 33, as part of my duty as a father to ensure that he knows the kind of world in which he's growing up. So when I get stopped by the police, I take my hat off and my sunglasses off. I put them on
Right.
the passenger side. I roll down my window. I take my hands. I stick them outside the window and on the door of the driver's side because I want that officer to be as relaxed as he can be
Yeah.
when he approaches my vehicle. And I do that because I live in America.
That's actor LeVar Burton talking on CNN. It's a sad commentary on America that one of the most common rites of passage for black teenage boys today is the talk. Shortly after the Trayvon Martin verdict, producer Cynthia Woodland invited Anthony Cooper and his sons into our studio to talk about what it's like raising black teenagers in America. At the time, Akeem was 13 years old and Anthony Jr. was 14.
Do you feel like, as young black men in the community, do you feel like it's assumed that they're a threat?
Oh, definitely, definitely. And it's sad because of the simple fact is, I mean, most of the time, most adults don't look at these kids as kids. They look at them as adults or look at them as maybe our new convicts, or whatever, or you know, look at them as just as more of just a threat.
Because they're black?
Right, mainly because they're black. And my sons, you know, I don't tolerate the whole sagging pants thing and all that stuff. But I'm not going to sit up here and say that I've never met some kids that may who may have sagged their pants, but they're still the most respectable kids. They're still kids.
So let me ask you, Anthony, do you feel like people look at you like you're a threat because you're black?
Not all the time, but like sometimes, you know. Say like I was like me and my brother, we went to the store or something, and then like it would be like some kids and what's name, they'll like tell them to come here or something. Like they'll tell their kids to come here, like me and my brother coming by.
Okay. So they'll kind of like protect their family when you're walking by.
Yeah.
Okay. Gotcha. And you notice that.
Yeah. I kind of ignore it, but like I pay attention to it, but like I don't really show them like I'm getting mad that they doing that or nothing. I just get my stuff and then go.
How about you, Akeem? Can you think of any situations or I guess have you ever felt like people look at you differently because you're black?
Well, like, it's like I'll be walking somewhere with some of my friends or with my brother. And like sometimes it'll be a big group of us, probably like five of us. It just seemed like the police, like anytime they drive by, they have all their attention on us. Like they'll just like be looking sideways at us for some reason.
And what do you think when they're doing that?
I think that they think that we're doing something wrong or that we're with other people that do stuff wrong.
And how does that make you feel?
It doesn't really bother me because, like, I don't really, what they think of me is not the same of what I know I am or what I do.
All right, now. And how did you come to what you think about yourself?
Well, my dad, he, like, a lot, like, really a lot. I always talk about, like, being a positive young black man, that he doesn't show people that he's have any emotions because, like, if you show people that, oh, you're getting mad, then they know your weakness and they know how to get at you.
Yeah.
Okay.
I think a different way of just putting a spin on it as far as, you know, sometimes, because automatically, if a young man, a young black man in particular, was to express himself, a lot of times it's looked at more as anger than, you know, than a young man just trying to say, okay, this is how I'm feeling, regardless. If everyone, every time when you see me, you think that I have an attitude, automatically, eventually, you either fear me or think that there's a situation with me that may project to you. So I have to kind of show you different, because if I don't show you different, then that's the only thing you're going to know about me, unless we were to sit down and actually have a conversation. Yeah. So.
Let me ask you guys, have you been following the case? Did you follow the Trayvon Martin case?
Yeah, I did.
Okay. Yeah. How did you feel when you found out about what happened?
I felt that, like, it was wrong, what happened to him and stuff.
How about you, Akeem? the Trayvon Martin case. How did you feel when you found out about what happened to him? I mean, he was walking with some Arizona tea and some Skittles.
Just as an example, like, one day we was in Chicago, my dad was like, don't have your hoodie up. But this was way before it happened. Then he told us, it was like, because people can think that you're somebody else, mm-hmm. and, like, other stuff can happen that wasn't supposed to happen because you're not even that person.
Mm-hmm.
And then that's probably what happened to Trayvon Martin. They probably thought he was somebody mm-hmm. else.
Mm-hmm. You know, one thing that we all have in common around the table is that we're all black.
Mm-hmm.
And I think there's a different reality when you're black.
yeah, definitely.
And so I think about some of the talks that we have to have with our kids
mm-hmm.
that people who aren't black don't have to have.
Right.
And so have you ever had to have the talk with your boys about how to interact with the police, if
right.
they were ever to encounter the police?
Yeah, actually, we just had, my son was walking, Akeem was walking from the bus stop. And so a police officer had pulled up to him and asked him, wanted to know who he was.
Out of the blue.
Right, just out of the blue.
He said he wasn't doing anything.
Right, wasn't doing anything, he was walking to the Y.
So Akeem, tell me about what happened when you were walking to the Y.
I was just walking from the Y I was walking to the Y, and then on my way there, like, I was just left the transfer point, and then he just stopped me. He was like, he asked me, was I someone else? And then, yeah, he was just like, he just told me to show him my ID and stuff like that.
So he got out of the car and asked for your ID?
Yeah. First he got out the car, and then he was like, come here.
He called you over to the police car?
Yeah.
Okay. And what were you thinking when he did that?
I wasn't sure.
Uh-huh. Did you feel afraid or?
No, not really.
No? You just did what he asked you to do?
Yeah.
Did what your dad, some of the things that your dad has talked to you about in terms of how to relate to the police, did that come to your mind when this police officer asked you to come to the car?
Yeah. It really, like, when he started talking to me,
uh-huh.
that's when it kicked in.
When the police officer started talking to you, you thought about what your dad said?
Yes.
Okay. Yeah. With everything you've been through and even things we've talked about today, do you feel like, even though you're there for your sons,
mm-hmm.
you're teaching them well, they do have to make their own decisions as they go into mm-hmm. life, do you worry about them being young black men in the world? Do you worry about what could happen to them? Do you worry that maybe something like Trayvon could happen to them or like what happened to Oscar?
Yeah, I worry about all that and some. So I worry all the time. I pray for my sons daily. You know, my sons and a couple of other guys that they're friends, kids that kind of hang with us on a regular. Because I know stuff can happen. For one, they have that open line of communication. So when there are issues, when there are problems.
What would you say, Anthony, to people who, you know, who may be listening, who they don't know your sons? You know, to them, they look like any other young black man that's out there.
If anything, I want people to look at my sons as though they would be looking at their own child. And then also think about some of the things that, what they have done and what were good things in their life. And then also look at some of the things that were bad in their life as young people
mm-hmm.
and think about, you know, how their eyes were at that time. Mm-hmm. Because I think a lot of times it's going to be like, oh, that was never me.
Mm-hmm.
That was, you know what I'm saying? That has never happened to me. I would never do that. Or okay, I never got drunk. I never smoked a joint or
mm-hmm.
or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's just one of those things where I think, you know, they have to look back at that time and look at how people at times may have looked at them.
So being a young black man then, how do you want people to see you? What do you want people to know about you?
I know they're not going to know everything about me, but, like, I want them to know, like, I'm not, like, I don't know, like, I'm not.
Say how you feel, son.
I don't know, like. I'm not, like, there to do nothing to them. Or, yeah.
You're not there to be a threat to anyone. You're not trying to hurt anyone.
Yeah.
And how about you? What do you want people to know about you? Kind of what I'm getting at is there are people out there that are going to look at you all, sweet as you are, and just see a young black man, just mm-hmm. see a black man. They're not going to see anything else. And so if you're talking to these people that are just going to, they look at you, they see, you know, they might see Trayvon Martin. They might see Oscar Grant. For these people who just are looking at you and all they see at this point is just black only, how do you want them to see you? What do you want them to know about you?
I'm not just black. I'm athletic. And I like challenges. And I want to, you know, be a billionaire someday. Yeah.
Okay. Well, thank you, guys. Well, I know it's probably a little bit awkward. But I appreciate you coming in because there are people listening out there.
Yeah.
And they don't get an opportunity to hear what your dad has to say or what you have to say.
Producer Cynthia Woodland, talking with Anthony Cooper and his sons. Akeem was 13 when they had that conversation. Anthony Jr. was 14.